Welcome to Free Radical Radio. I'm here in the cave with Doug. And we're doing a special little interview today. I'm talking about all the shit that's been going down in Ferguson. And we're talking to two anarchists from St. Louis, Luca and Elsie. Hey, how's it going over there?
Hey, it's going pretty good. It's been really busy.
Okay, to start off, we're going to get right into this because I know you all have stuff to do. You're all from St. Louis, Missouri. Ferguson is a suburb outside of St. Louis. Can you give us a bit of context about what is happening there now? What are these cities like, and what are their demographics?
St. Louis is about 40% white, 50% black, and 10% of other minorities. It has a really racially charged history. It's a very segregated city. Ferguson is a suburb just to the north of St. Louis that it's like more like it's actually more diverse, but it's like a more working class suburb. It's about 65% black, 35% white. The police force is like around 94-95% white. White mayor, white city council.
How did you hear about the police murder of Michael Brown, and how did you arrive at the protest on the first night?
I saw on the STL Today website, which is the Post-Dispatch website, which is the local newspaper, that police had shot an unarmed black male. And I got a couple of friends together to go up there for the impromptu gathering that was happening of just people in the apartment complex. And so we went up there to check it out to get a feel of like how people were responding and to give our support however that needed to be. And then we ended up marching to the police station from there. And people were starting to get more excited later on that night, but it was still very, very small.
Can you talk about like the timeline of events that happened the first night of the riots?
Well, so that what Elsie was just talking about was what happened on Saturday night. And what happened on Saturday night was there was sort of a vigil and gathering and then a march. And I think one of the catalysts for then what happened on Sunday is that gathering on Saturday night was met with police dogs and assault rifles when it was just people gathering at the site of this kid's death. So right away it set the stage for conflict. And then on Sunday, there was a call for another candlelight vigil that, again, at the site of where this kid was shot, and it quickly became a much larger gathering. So there were about, 1,000 people.
Yeah, at least 1,000 people or more
that were spilling out of the area around the apartment complex and into the main street where most of that conflict on Sunday night happened.
So many militant responses to the police often end after one night, or they get contained in some way. But in this case, there's already been two more days of riots that have broken out. What propelled this forward? What do you think happened that took place that kept people coming back into the streets?
People are fucking angry. This happens maybe it's something I didn't talk about when we were talking about setting the stage, but police murders in and around St. Louis are common. Deaths at the hand of the police are common. Deaths in the city jail workhouse are common. Every month somebody gets shot, or more than once a month somebody gets shot. And so I think that people are really angry. And that attitude was really the attitude that people weren't going to back down and weren't going to quit and were going to keep coming out, almost like talking about this is like a war zone, like this is a war, was really prevalent in people's language in the streets on Sunday, on Monday. So that like that keeps up that energy.
I think also because of the way that the body was treated, it was uncovered, laying in the street, surrounded by heavily armed police for 4 hours in the middle of the day, in the middle of a very populated residential area where people could just come out and they could just see like the disrespect that they were treating the deck, and then the way that the way that it was handled with about the police officer's name not being released, or questioning whether it was justified or not when he was clearly unarmed, and then questioning the way the situation played out. Now they're trying to say that there were more than just the police officer shell casings, when all of the accounts up until maybe last night were that they were just shell casings from the police officer. And so I think that people, because of the very, very open disrespect, also fueled that.
Yeah, you mentioned the feeling like it was a war, people saying that, and on, you know, outside of St. Louis and Ferguson, we're seeing pictures of police using a variety of crowd control techniques and with various technologies to quell the riots. At the same time, we're seeing pictures of people throwing Molotov cocktails, which is, you know, in the United States, fairly rare these days. Can you talk about the tactics that are being used on both sides and how they have been affected against one another?
One of the things that's happening that is really amazing and really interesting is that there's not a formulaic response. There might be a philosophical response. If that philosophical response is something that philosophical response is something that is really internalized in people. Like, this isn't the result of people reading pamphlets or people reading writings and then knowing that they, like, hate the cops, or knowing that they can act physically against them, or knowing that they can push back, or shouting down, like on the very first night of the riot, like shouting down speakers and preachers who are preaching for peace or preaching for prayer or preaching for Black power, and like knowing that all of that is bullshit and just acting from a place of, yeah, just a deep, authentic response. And so that's sort of a diversion from your question, but it's not like intentional tactics. Like, people are just sort of making do with whatever is around them at the time. There's been a little bit of maybe preparation on some people's parts. Like, yeah, somebody had to get their shit together enough to make Molly's, but generally it's a guttural response to what's happening at the time. You know, and they have this area up the street from where the main like rioting and looting was, that is a bigger shopping center, and they've been staging there the whole time. They have it surrounded at all times, and there are hundreds and hundreds of police vehicles. There are armored SWAT vehicles with machine guns on them. There are police hanging out in the armored SWAT vehicles and right around them. Right here all of the time. They brought it from all of these municipalities around,
yeah,
St. Louis.
At least 25 different municipalities.
So from Obama to Al Sharpton, there have been calls for calm. How have you seen this affect the revolt? Has it been successful? Have some people listened while others have not? Has there been like a universal kind of moreover disregard for this?
Well, Al Sharpton appointed 100 males as disciples for justice, which is just another way of calling them police officers themselves, in order to enforce the laws, in order to keep the peace, in order to police other people. And so that worked out a little bit outside of the rally, and then there was an even greater response from people later on after that, with people were having guns firing at the cops outside of that rally. So there's people that are trying to police the protesters, or trying to have control, or for their own political motives, whatever it is, their own notoriety.
Have you seen any of that like co-option that the left usually tries to do, and the peace policing, any of that? Have you seen that kind of playing out differently than it might have normally been playing out, like the last several years?
It played out a little bit differently, but not on the first night. The very first night of what to be called riots, there were very few people who were trying to stop what was going on. Mostly, I think that people didn't want to be participating, they left. And there was some face-to-face confrontation about tactics, but largely there wasn't very much of it. Where it's come from down the line is churches holding rallies, politicians or people who are acting like them, trying to blame the actions on outside agitators, that it's not coming from inside the community, that those people who are acting out or acting, who are pushing back, aren't quote unquote like speaking for the community, even if they live there, even if they, that's where their homes are.
Can you tell us a little more about this kind of outside agitator line? I was talking to somebody else in St. Louis today, and they were talking about how anarchists specifically were being kind of pinpointed as specifically white anarchists, like outside agitators that are coming in to rile people up. Can you tell us a little bit about how this is playing itself out?
Yeah. A very small group of people, very vocal people, small but vocal group of people, who apparently have seen quote unquote like white anarchists at other gatherings and protests, whether it's Occupy or the Trayvon rally, the Trayvon Martin rally in March that happened here. Some people were recognized by the small but vocal group of people and really sort of blasphemized, like, you're the problem, you are coming here and creating this, like, you incited these things to happen these prior days, which is really absurd. Which is really absurd, because I think that one of the things that is really exciting for a lot of us here is that we aren't acting as anarchists in this situation. Like, that is, like, often the lens, but we're not going there with an anarchist agenda. We're not going there trying to create agency or sway over the situation beyond participating when we can be participating in the ways that we can be the fullest. And that feels actually really, really refreshing and exciting to be like, this is not our creation at all. Like, we are just here participating. And we're not going with the agenda, or we have no, I mean, yeah.
It has its own momentum. Like, we don't have to create the momentum. It's definitely its own entities most of the time. People are, they're very, very upset about it, understandably so.
Well, on that note, how do you think that the revolt can presently deepen and expand? In what ways do you see this possibly happening? Oftentimes in situations like these, it will get drawn into like a legal battle, or there'll be like a certain demand that someone makes and it gets kind of drawn into that, or else it goes off into another direction and it grows and expands. So I'm just curious if you have any ideas about how that could possibly happen.
I feel like more people in St. Louis City get involved, because it seems to be mostly Ferguson or the immediate counties surrounding it. I think today I saw more people, though, at the Clayton press conference, where people are starting to get a little bit involved. This is the fifth day. And so I think they're like, okay, this is actually a thing that maybe I should go and check out. So as long as it keeps getting more and more people actively getting involved with it, the momentum will sustain itself, but I mean, it's very tiring if there's no other people getting involved.
Right, and just it seems like the level of buildup and amount of police, I mean, you described it, people were saying it was like a war. I mean, obviously from the pictures, I mean, it almost seems indistinguishable from like troops in Iraq or Afghanistan. So, I mean, these things are going to keep happening, right? There's deep crisis within civilization and capital. These kind of situations are going to continue to happen. In Oakland, there was just a young person that was shot and killed by the police, I think, like a week ago. Do you have any words of advice for someone that is seeing this kind of unfold before your eyes, that people, maybe what you could have done better next, what you could do better next time, essentially?
I mean, I think that because St. Louis is the way that it is, and that it is a racially charged place, I don't necessarily look at that. I don't necessarily look at the situation as that it would be a positive tactic or a worthwhile tactic to go in as a group of anarchists and try to participate in maybe any other way than we are. And I don't think that almost anybody here that, you know, in our crew has a different opinion about that. So I think as far as being more effective, quote unquote, or it's a matter of maybe being more prepared, you know, I mean, but for when things do happen.
Yeah. But, yeah. Giving supplies, because a lot of these people that are very active in the different protests that have been happening have never been in this situation before. They're people that are from that neighborhood that have never been in face-to-face combat with police and are not prepared, for instance, to deal with tear gas, have never been maced before, have never been shot with rubber bullets. And so giving either supplies or gingerly giving advice whenever it seems appropriate, but without being like a overbearing, because it's not our place, it's not our space to do that most of the time.
So you're saying that you all are under the opinion that basically you should go and participate and essentially like meet people. But not like we've seen pictures of some communist groups that are arriving with like big banners, and I see people wearing like RCP t-shirts and stuff like that. So you're saying it would be a bad idea essentially to go and like try to sell newspapers or, you know,
right. Yeah. Anybody here is interested in that. And there have been people who've been called out at rallies for being anarchists and basically chased off, at least just one of us, but, you know, like targeted, surrounded, like you are the problem, you're here, you're instigating this shit, which like I said before, is absurd. I mean, those are people who are acting like politicians who have a very specific agenda, who want to place blame outside of their community so they can get back to quote unquote business as normal and scapegoat it. And what sucks about that, beyond the obvious, is that it reappropriates all of these people's anger. It reappropriates all of these people's power and devalidates it. Like, this is like we didn't fucking make Sunday happen. We just happened to be there. Right.
Yeah. I guess another thing I was thinking about was we had a bunch of, even here in Oakland, it was like several nights in a row people were taking the streets for after the Trayvon verdict. And then eventually it just kind of went to business, back to normal, and more people get shot, and occasionally things pop up a little bit. And I was wondering if there seems to be anything feeling different right there, or if there's any way to keep this, not that anyone has control over it, obviously, but to keep it from just kind of like slowly going back down and then back to normal life and civilization, where police are just killing people and, you know, getting away with it, and, but, you know, not even knowing who they are at this point.
That's the eternal question.
I mean, I think that this happened here because what happened after Trayvon happened here, and what happened after Trayvon Martin got killed and that verdict got handed down in other places. And so it's just like that whole idea is that it's all linked together, and it's not something that is necessarily sustainable on a day-to-day basis when all of these people are, like, generally, not all of it, you know, like, poor working class people, we all have to maintain our lives. So I think it's just, like, more of a hope is just, like, it will just keep popping off. Like, people will keep responding. But I don't necessarily feel like we have any grand strategy for keeping this down. And it's, you know, and honestly, it's probably going to go the same way a lot of other things go. It's going to become a legal case. There's church coalitions that are forming with the NAACP to get the community, quote-unquote, back together and to calm everything down. Like, those forces of cooperation are really strong. They're sort of slow-moving, which I think allowed some of this stuff to happen already, and it's not It's not totally died down yet. There was stuff that popped off last night, so stuff probably that pops off tonight. But I don't think that's like long term like street battle is sustainable. But that does at least like now there are thousands of people who participated in a reaction to that. And if that lives in them now. They experience that at least once in their life of responding in such like a visceral, guttural way. And so that maybe they'll do it again, because now it's a possibility. That possibility expanded for all these people.
Well, we know you all have lots of stuff to do. Just in closing, can you tell us a little bit about, there's a website that's started to raise funds for people that were arrested. And also, as we speak, I know there's a solidarity demonstration being planned in Oakland on Friday at Oscar Grant Plaza, 14th and Broadway at 6 p.m. Also, there's a call out, I believe Anonymous has put it out, for solidarity rallies around the country. Do you have any words in parting or anything you'd like to add to people that may be listening that are following this very closely?
Any money that is donated on the website is greatly appreciated. There's over 40 people that have been arrested so far, and they're just arresting more and more people every day, people that are facing felony charges or who have no money, who have no resources in order to get themselves out of jail. And if you could just promote that website, pass it on, tell everybody about it.
Okay, cool. Is there anything you guys want or you wanted to add before finishing here?
No, I think that I guess the only thing is just that. No, I don't think so. Sorry, we haven't slept in days.
Oh, don't worry about it.
I can imagine. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. I hope you all stay safe. And just to be clear, the website we're talking about is anti-state stlouis.noblogs.org. I think it's like anti-state stl.noblogs.org. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, keep fighting out there, and we'll keep looking at you through the internet, listening to you, and hopefully that this kind of fire spreads. And this is a problem that's happening all over, and it extends from people waiting for water outside of Toledo to what's going on in Ferguson to what's happening here in Oakland. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us, and stay safe.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks a lot. All right, that was Luca and Elsie calling us and talking from St. Louis about the Ferguson riots. It's Free Radical Radio. You can find us at freeradicalradio.tumblr.com. Find us on Facebook, and you can email us at freeradicalradio@riseup.net. All right, thanks.